Klaatu, Verada.
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
Look, okay, just get any blunt objects together, all right? If you get cornered, bash them in the head. That seems to work out. Keep together, stay sharp, and follow me.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
We'll tear your soul apart.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Any zombies out there?
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That.
The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Are there any out there, though?
They're here.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio, where we talk horror. I am Bane Hellborn, with my devilishly clever partner, the infamous MJ.
You keep repeating these lies like somebody's going to believe it one these days.
It's true.
Whatever.
And we'd like to start with horror in the news of the week, which we call Screams of the Week.
Yes.
MJ, what's on the list?
Well, for once, we don't actually have to talk about death, but you know we're going to end up talking about it.
Of course.
It is the big news story of the week, and Robin Williams, of course, passing away. Now, not a lot of people realize Robin Williams, did actually... This was actually debated, and that's why I'm bringing it up first. Usually we leave the bigger news to the end. But, I threw this out there on the Facebook page. And I meant to throw this out on the Twitter page as well. But we can actually debate this right now if you want to. 1 hour photo. I don't know if you remember that movie or not.
Yes, but, I do.
Would you consider that a horror movie? And let me make my defense on it.
Go ahead.
That, yes, Silence of the Lambs was pretty bloody and gory at certain parts, and no, 1 hour photo was not a gory film. It is a horror film in that same respect because it was more of a psychological thriller.
And he was sort of stalking the family, so I would consider that a horror.
There was a lot of cliché-ic horror, especially at the end. I mean...
Yes.
Yeah, so I would actually consider 1 hour photo a horror movie. Now, obviously, it's not our classic movie of the week, but... I mean, let's just be honest, it wasn't his greatest film. But it was an outstanding film. I watched it again, and I didn't realize just how disturbing that film truly is. And you don't really appreciate it unless you've actually seen it, and seen it multiple times, because you miss things in that movie.
I've seen it like 5 times already.
And there's one scene where he's on the toilet. If that doesn't magnify the creep version, I have no idea. Obviously Robin Williams passing away, and then it's huge for me, because I suffer from depression, and I've got and there are a few people out there that will say that you can't really tell a lot on this, but family genetics, because after it was revealed that he was suffering from an early stage of Parkinson's, it got me to thinking, my family genetics has me around the age of 60, 65, getting Alzheimer's. That right there, if you've never known anybody who suffers from Alzheimer's, that's not exactly a disease that near the end, when they can't even recognize who you are, you know, I think that's one of the worst things ever. Is my grandmother died from Alzheimer's on my mom's side, and near the end, she couldn't recognize even her own children, and she lived with one of them. And that got me to thinking, and yeah, I know Parkinson's is nothing that close and that serious, but it just got me to thinking that, you know, what he did, I can understand it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is I can understand why he did what he did.
Yeah.
And trying to because I've thought about it too. I'll be honest with you. I've thought about it, and I've talked about that with several close friends. And generally, if I'm dating somebody and I want it to be serious, I will bring that topic up, because it's something you're going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you're going to have to deal with it. You know, when I turn 60 and 65, I'm probably going to start forgetting things, and by the time I'm 75, 80, I won't even know who you are. That's life. But so, like I said, I can understand it. But but to be honest with you, his death just, it goes through so many genres, because I mean, he did so many movies.
He covered the whole spectrum. Yeah,
absolutely, from comedy to children's movies to you know, very serious movies. Good Will Hunting. You know, it's always
Insomnia.
Yeah, Insomnia. A lot of people forget about. That's another movie you could debate whether or not that's a horror film. Because, I mean, didn't he play a serial killer?
He did.
And yeah, he did. He played a serial killer in Insomnia. So, I mean, you know, he was so versatile. And I really think his better roles were actually not his comedy roles. And that's a huge statement to say. I mean, considering Aladdin and Mrs. Doubtfire and God knows how many other comedy movies he made, Hook was absolutely outstanding. And, you know, for him to basically make two good horror movies, absolutely, you know, and it needed a top this week. And I guess we both needed, you know, to get something off our chest. Cause I mean, we're both big fans, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So I think that's where we are right now. I just wanted to throw that out there. And
that was very nice of you.
Absolutely. Robin Williams will definitely be missed on so many levels and so many occasions. So
I think the movie industry will go further down the toilet because he's gone.
Oh, absolutely. And just to think about, on a more selfish level, the quality of people we've lost over the last 3 weeks. We have brought death into this. And I mean actual human being death into this the last 3 weeks.
We have.
Yeah, we've done 4 podcasts, and 3 of them in the big news of the week has been a major death.
And we're not trying to be morbid.
No, we're not. It's just this is what's going on right now. And yeah, wow. I mean, it's just so talented, you know, so many talented people just going right now.
And he blew up every social media page.
Oh, absolutely.
Was covering everything for days.
He practically shut down Twitter. And
pretty much.
To those idiots out there that did what they did, and I think we all know what I'm talking about. We don't have to go over it, because to me it sickens me that there are people out there that do this. To those idiots, if you think you're funny and witty because you're doing it, you might want to go upstairs and ask your mommy, okay? I'm pretty sure your mother, you know, well, you live in your mother's basement and think it's hilarious. Oh, I'm at the morgue. I just passed Robin Williams' body. If you think that's funny, you need some serious psychological help yourself, because that's not funny. That's absolutely.
It's very disrespectful.
It is. It's very disrespectful. And how would you? Know, I would ask that question. You know, how would you feel if somebody did that to you? But I don't think those people would feel anything towards it. I think they'd find it funny. I mean, that's funny. Anyways, I thought I'd bring that up, and not to be doing a stupid transition, but I do want to bring up something that I found absolutely hilarious, going from the depths of the Robin Williams story to something I found comedy. I work for a sports talk radio station. I don't know how many people know that, but that's my quote-unquote day job, is I work in sports talk radio, and I had to go up to work on Saturday. There is now a fantasy football convention.
It's a what?
There is a fantasy football convention.
Now, how do you have a convention with something that's not real? Oh, well, that's a stupid question. I go to those all the time.
Let me just say this to the NFL fans out there, and I know I'm going to piss a few people off, and I don't really care right now. You have lost the argument to us, okay? You've lost the argument to people that go to Comic-Con and dress up.
Yeah, I think you do.
You lose the argument. You can no longer scream and laugh and pick at people that do that stuff and call them nerds anymore. Because you're one of us.
Because you're now a geek.
Yeah, you're one of us now. I mean, to be honest with you, those people are, those people are sad. I mean, look, I'll say this. You like fantasy football, that's cool. You like fantasy sports, that's cool. You know, I'm into, I have a fantasy soccer team. But I'm not going to no darn convention to, and I don't listen to all these podcasts out there. Well, you need to start such and such this week because they're playing this team and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, I don't want to waste too much time on it. Probably too late.
Well, maybe we shouldn't belittle it because it's a convention that they can get into.
Yeah, but I'm not belittling it. That's the whole thing. This is a group of people. And I mean, there's conventions for everything. We know this. And yes. And what is the definition of a nerd anyways? It's
someone who is over enthusiastic for their category of choice.
Exactly. So, being called a nerd, contrary to what most, meathead NFL guy would say, is not a bad thing. It's not an insult. It's actually a compliment.
Because you're now one of us.
Yep, you're one of us. Welcome to the world. It's just that with this group, it's like Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, it really is like Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, it's like this is the group that belittles you, and there's a lot of people in that group that laughs at those that go to Comic-Con. Oh, look at those losers! Ha ha ha! And now it's. Well, I'm going to my fantasy football convention. You're the same now. Okay, you're the same. Welcome to our level. So I thought, I thought I'd bring that up because I found it funny. I really, there's an actual fantasy football convention. That's
now there's something for everybody.
There is something for everybody. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you, welcome to our level. Anyways, shall we get into really real news now?
And what would that be?
Oh, well, it seems like it's been a reoccurring theme on this show that we have to spend, we have to take 10 minutes out of our day to discuss American Horror Story.
Okay.
But, I look at it this way, though. Because this season is so hyped now. I mean, it has to be almost perfect this season. And they got better. They actually got better.
They added a new cast member, too.
Two new cast members.
Oh, two.
Yeah, there was an announcement that two new cast members were coming to the Freak Show. And we start off with Patti LaBelle, believe it or not,
right.
Is going to be in American Horror Story this season. Now, last season, obviously, Stevie Nicks showed up from the world of music. And I don't have a lot of what she's going to be doing. But
no, I don't think they wrote it out yet.
Yeah, I don't think they've wrote it out. But Patti LaBelle will be making a cameo in American Horror Story this year. So that's absolutely awesome. And have you seen some of the pictures of Jessica Lange coming out of this season?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, isn't she beautiful this season?
I can't believe, as old as she is, she's still gorgeous.
I really do think she's a witch. I do, because, I mean, it's like she doesn't age.
No.
She doesn't age. She's a witch.
Ooh, maybe she is.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
And the bigger news of the week, size not relative to this, is...
You sure?
Well, I mean, this is just a little story. The newest regular cast member of American Horror Story is the world's shortest woman. She is...
is it Giotti MG?
Or is it Giotti MG? Or is it me trying to be a pompous a-hole? yes, you're right. You're right. She is born in India. She is 20 years old and just over 2 feet tall. She is considered the world's shortest woman both by the Guinness and Limco Books of World Records. She's not a newcomer to entertainment, though. She appeared in a 2009 documentary called Body Shock and was on India's version of Big Brother. For those of you who...
And there's this great picture of Jessica holding her.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the picture I was been talking about for, you know, like I said, she just doesn't age. I mean, she literally looks like, I don't know, she what, 35 maybe? And she's closer to what? 50?
I'm going to look this up really quick. I think she's older than that.
Yeah. I'm saying, though, she looks about half her age. Whatever she does,
yeah.
Whatever she does to... I want to know her secrets. That's all I'm just going to say. I want to know how she does it.
Oh, my God. She's 65.
Wow. And I'm glad a female said that, because a man should never reveal a woman's age.
That's right.
So, there you go. All right. Also coming out of American Horror Story this week is Erica Bryan offering a debut track of This House is Haunted. It's a flawlessly, emotionally eerie performance. I'm still trying to figure out what it has to do with American Horror Story, but somebody told me that it may be the theme this year.
Huh.
So... thought I would bring that up, but I highly doubt it. There was a controversy this week. At least in my eyes, it was a controversy. And I made a comment about it on the Facebook page, and I made sure that
are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Let's talk about it.
Why anybody would write this story, first off, is beyond me. All right? It's beyond me that we actually... I mean, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, really. And more of a bad thing than a good thing, I'll be honest with you. The Walking Dead. But we're now debating whether or not Daryl Dixon is gay.
Seriously, people?
I mean, there's so many more questions that could come out of this season. And, I mean, why do we care about anybody's sexuality anyways? On a more of a, you know, political front for me. I could care less what your sexuality is. I have no issues with gay people or anything of that nature. But I just... It just seems like on the list of things to care about, it would be way near the bottom.
Yeah, that shouldn't even be an issue.
And plus, let's be honest. Okay? And yes, we may stereotype here, but where is the show located at the moment?
Are they in Georgia?
They're still in South Georgia. They're still in South Georgia. Let me tell you something about South Georgia. This is where Deliverance was shot, okay? In some places in rural Georgia, Deliverance is more of a documentary film. And seeing Daryl and his brother, I'm going to answer the question and say no. Okay? No, I mean, but look, all right, there actually is a gay character in The Walking Dead in the comic book. I don't know if you remember that or not, but there actually was a gay character in The Walking Dead comics. It's in 130, Jesus. Jesus was gay. And a fan letter pointed out that the parallel, and I'm reading from the story at comicbook.com. A fan letter pointed out that a parallel could be drawn to Daryl in the TV series, as Daryl is also a badass whose sexual orientation is still something of a mystery. First off, wasn't Michonne's sexuality something of a mystery at one time, too?
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. When we first met her, what did you think?
I thought she was all hot for, what's her face?
Exactly.
Andrea.
Yeah, exactly. And it just turned out they had a real close relationship and Michonne was straight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think that some people have way too much time on their hands.
Yeah, and this is a survival horror story.
Exactly.
There's you can't be having a story to where they're about to be attacked and they go, oh, wait. Are you gay or straight?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do that.
I mean, it's... Okay, Daryl hasn't hooked up. Because we haven't heard much of Daryl's backstory either. And I think that's where this is coming from, is from some of the fans. They would like to know more about Daryl's backstory. You know,
he keeps telling every little bit every time.
Well, what I'm saying is that we've only got like a little peek, though. If you really think about it, I mean, he's probably told us everything but told us nothing.
Well, but the backstory is, as far as we know, he's from a criminal, white trash, redneck family.
Right.
And they did all sorts of things to survive, to take care of the family.
Right.
So
we don't know if his parents...
As that goes, they wouldn't be gay.
Yeah. And I don't think you have time to think about sexuality at that point.
And I think what they're questioning is because Daryl, he's real caring in his own way for the kids,
yeah,
for women, and he's real protective of the people he's with.
Well, exactly. And, you know, you could still be straight and do that, people.
Yeah.
And yeah, then the question was put up to Kirkman, or Robert Kirkman, for those of you who don't know, if AMC would be okay with Daryl Dixon being gay. It's AMC.
Anything goes.
I mean, what is it already? He's We thought he had a relationship going with Carol for a little bit.
It looked like it was heading that way.
Yeah. And now we have this thing with Beth. And that's
which I have not seen.
Yeah, and that's going to be one of the questions at the beginning of season 5. Where's Beth? We have no clue where Beth is. Although I have a pretty good feeling, and again, this is just a guess, that Beth is at Terminus.
You might be right.
Which may mean she was on the grill. But, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. But anyway, season 5, of course, premieres October the 12th at 9 o'clock on AMC with The Talking Dead to Follow. I mean, that's really the Walking Dead news of the week, to be honest with you. Have you heard that MTV is doing a series based on the movie Scream?
They're doing what?
They're doing a series based on the movie Scream.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my reaction, too. There's still some debate out there on whether or not Teen Wolf was a success. But that's for another discussion. You know, we've never got into that because I don't think either one of us has even watched an episode of Teen Wolf.
Nope.
I just see the word MTV and I just go click. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a hint out there for those of you who... For those of you actors listening out there, if you want me to actually see your stuff, don't put it on MTV.
Yeah, to take it seriously, yeah.
Yeah, most of the Scream series was announced a couple weeks ago. Now we're getting the cast coming out. Willa Fitzgerald will be Emma Duvall. She is described as a classic beauty, and whose looks and popularity hide a natural shyness and an intellectual nature. Her new life with the in-crowd leaves her estranged from her best childhood friend, Audrey. Emma is the lead in MTV's Scream Lake and bears a resemblance to Neve Campbell's tortured high school student, Sydney Prescott. I thought it'd be fun.
Okay.
Taylor Claus, who has been on Arrow, for those of you who don't know, and he plays the character Sin. Was in The Killing and Killing and House of Lies. Will replace Forsythe in the role of Audrey. Because, you know, Amy Forsythe has pulled out of this project. Probably because it's on MTV. Anyways, Taylor Kloss will now play Audrey, the daughter of a Lutheran pastor. She's described as the artsy loner who aspires to be a filmmaker. Lord.
Really?
Bobby Campo from Final Destination, whichever 800 he was in, will recur Seth Branson, a hot English teacher at Lakewood High who has an easy charm and is clearly one of the cool teachers who can go with it if a lesson plan gets off a little bit. Oh, boy. Can't wait for that one. Connor Wheel of Sharknado fame. Take a drink. Matt's mentioned Sharknado again. That's quickly becoming an EMCT radio drinking game. How many times can take a shot every time Matt brings up Sharknado? Will be a series regular and will portray Will Belmont, an all-American high school basketball player who adores his girlfriend.
Aww.
You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. Joel Grech, Witches of East End, V, and the 4400, is set as Sheriff Clark Hudson, a good guy and a good sheriff who is a father to Karen. David Arquette, of course, was the lovable sheriff in the movies. So I'm guessing Joel Grech is going to be the Mr. Stabby Man. This time around?
Mr. Stabby Man,
Mr.
I love
Stabby
it.
Mr. Stabby Man. All right. Yeah, we'll get off of that. Anyways, there you go. Wow. Lord, 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 where do we go wrong in this one?
Did we go wrong? I thought it was good.
I don't know, did we? wait. I've lost my place completely at this point. There's a lot of Hellraiser news this week. I noticed that there's a I guess kind of like a series of comic books that are going to come out.
Oh.
I don't know if you can call it that. It's definitely going to be a short story series, and they, you know, Boom Studios has been doing a Hellraiser series for a long time. Clive Barker is shepherding the project, and they've transitioned, I should say, from an ongoing series to an incredible anthology of short stories.
Ooh, nice.
So we have our first of the anthology coming out, and it is Clive Barker's Hellraiser Bestiary number 1. Victor LaVale, Ben Mears,
and
Mark Miller are writing it. Colin Lormer, Carlos Mingo, and Connor Nolan will be the artists for it. And over the past 3 years, Clive Barker has reimagined the Hellraiser mythos as only he could, building a long-form narrative that became one of the best-received horror comics in recent memory. Now the master of horror takes us into his bestiary for an anthology series free of continuity, that word, but full of shocking consequences. And basically, here's what it looks like if you step into the bestiary for all new tales from Le Marchand Drive and its guardians. The first issue contains the start of a 6-part serial written by Mark Miller and Ben Mears. It'll be drawn by Carlos Mingo, where a group of mercenaries are hired to steal Pinhead's pens. And, well, you know, all good, high-quality fun for the family will ensue. Hilarious hijinks for all as they all meet a nasty, fatal...
Wow.
...fate. That was my commentary of it, by the way.
Have you seen Clive Barker?
Have I seen Clive? I've seen a few pictures of Clive Barker, yes.
Oh, no, I meant, have you been to convention to where you meet him?
No, I would like to, though.
Oh, he's super nice.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, the man is absolutely smart as anything, too.
But I'm just surprised because the artwork he does is really weird and twisted and just the weirdest thing that a gay man could do.
Yeah. I guess. I could think of a few weirder things, but we won't get into that. You know, like join Westboro Church or something. So where was I at this point? Okay, there we go.
Yeah, where were we going with that?
Victor LaVale will team with Carlin Lomier to tell his story set on the outskirts of New York City, a close community that is torn apart by the presence of the puzzle box.
Ooh.
I'm already happy. I'm like dying to see this. I'm looking through it right now, actually. There's a lot of awesome, awesome artwork. And I mean, this thing is beautiful.
I'm going to have to keep my eye out for it.
If you head over to Bloody Disgusting, they actually have a preview of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it looks great. I'm just telling you, it looks absolutely awesome. I mean, it's definitely what you would expect. And if I could start talking, we would be much better off, but... Yeah, this thing looks great. It's Symphony in Red is what I'm seeing here. There's a whole bunch of stuff from New York and all that other fun stuff. So, yeah.
Ooh, look at this.
Oh, I take it you found it.
Yes.
Hey, we have more Walking Dead news, believe it or not. This one going into the gaming side of things. And I do actually have more gaming news, which is going to make me exciting. The Walking Dead is getting its own pinball machine.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So back in June, Zen Studios announced a collaboration with Telltale Games that would bring a very special pinball game based on the episodic series. The Walking Dead, the game. The table looks about as genuine as it can get, as it will cover several locations that anyone who played the first season should be familiar with, including Clem's Treehouse, Everett's Pharmacy, Savannah, and the Motel. Perhaps the coolest part of the choice-driven gameplay is a staple of Telltale series. Not sure how that worked, but I'll look forward to finding it out. Again, I got this off Bloody Disgusting, just letting you guys know. The game will come out on the PS4, the PS3, and the Vita on August 26th, Mac, Steam, and the 360 on the 27th, 360 and Xbox One. I'm sorry, I've been mistaken. In Wii U, Android, iOS, and Amazon on August 28th, there is no mention of an Xbox One release yet. Although, normally, though, you would assume, and we know what assuming does, but that the 360 and the Xbox One would come out at the same time. Guess not.
Huh.
So, a lot of people don't know, I am somewhat of a gamer. I don't get to game as much as I'd like to. But there is one series I love. And there's a new one coming out soon. Dead Space.
I haven't played that yet.
You have not played it. You'll like it. After working on the series for almost 7 years nonstop, developer Visceral Games is taking a break from the action horror franchise to work on Battlefield Hardline. Part of the reason is this change to simply give the developer a much-needed break, but most of it stems from its recently unsuccessful Dead Space 3, which landed with a dull thud when released last February. Like I said, I like Dead Space, but obviously there's a ton of horror franchises that are just absolutely outstanding. I mean, you go to the old standby Resident Evil, which is...
And I played Revelations, which was totally amazing.
Oh my god, yes. And Resident Evil comes out pretty good. Left 4 Dead is another outstanding series. Dead Space, yeah, I do kind of agree. Dead Space 3 was kind of bad, but hey, that happens.
It's a hit or miss.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a movie franchise. Not every game, is gonna blow your mind. All right, We could go on for Fear, F-E-A-R. I don't know if you remember that one or not, but
I remember. Haven't played it.
Yeah, the new Wolfenstein came out a couple months ago, too.
I've been hearing about that for years.
Oh, I love Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein and Doom, which basically are the same game. It's just set in two different locations. But, yes. And there's supposed to be a new Doom coming out next year.
Really?
Yes. Well, by new, I mean it's going to be the original Doom revamped. But... It's Doom. So,
and I played Diablo 3.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next thing. For those of you who actually lower yourselves to play a PlayStation,
excuse me.
Yes, I said it. Xbox for life.
I got PS3, baby.
I used to have a 360. Then some evil jerk stole it. Actually had two 360s in my life. Both of them got stolen. Blizzard. I love Blizzard. Everybody loves Blizzard.
Blizzard's awesome.
But Diablo 3 has already come out on the PS4.
Yep.
Again, it's another great video game. It looks great. I've seen the ads for it. I don't know why they really are pushing it hard on PS4. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. It's not a PlayStation exclusive game.
No, it's not.
It's not, and but when you watch the commercials, you think it is.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it hasn't come out on Xbox yet. It's supposed to come out August 19th, so it's actually going to come out on Tuesday, if you're listening to this podcast before Tuesday. it comes out on Tuesday, August the 19th, for PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. And obviously you got your hands on a demo. So what'd you think about it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I really loved it. The graphics were completely amazing. The controls were a little weird to get used to.
Mm. Well, I mean, but that's with every new video game. The controls are just weird.
Yeah. Oh, it was just, I was hooked on it for a total week.
And here's the great news, though, about the new Diablo game, is that they're going to give everybody who gets the game, it doesn't matter what console you have, you get the same support as it would be on the PC. And
right.
I'll be honest with you. Outside of Xbox, since I got my Xbox stolen, I've become quite the PC gamer. I'm not going to lie. I really like the PC games now. And I can't wait. And obviously, did we talk about the new Silent Hill game yet?
No, we haven't.
You know who's directing the new Silent Hill game, right?
Who?
Guillermo del Toro.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And, there's some guy we talked about earlier that's going to be in it. Oh, yeah, Daryl Dixon. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just going to happen to be in the new Silent Hill game. So, and we're actually kind of behind on that. Although the Guillermo news was earlier this week, but Norman Reedus was announced last week as being in the game, which I am sitting here just going, literally heavy breathing came out with this. Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima are doing the game. So I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to have to starve for a couple of days, I think, just to afford this game. I'm going to say this right now. Yes, I find getting this game more important than eating. And if anybody's ever seen my fat butt, you know I love eating. So there we go. The new Silent Hill game will have Hideo Kojima and Guillermo del Toro, who's coming off, and I have not seen any more episodes of The Strain. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't that impressed. I gave it a couple of shots, and I didn't like it. A lot of people
I've been hearing rave reviews about it.
See, that's the whole thing. Yeah, a lot of people now are loving it, and I might give it another shot, but I have to catch up.
Well, I don't have that channel, so I can't comment.
You don't have FX?
No.
Wow. It's the difference between Arizona and South Carolina. FX is on basic cable here.
Yeah.
I honestly thought FX was on basic cable everywhere. Wow. Go. We should probably transition off of that, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Lord, what have we done now? Oh. So anyways, now that we know that FX is not everywhere.
Should we get to our movie?
Absolutely, we should get to our movie. What is it?
How about 1926 Faust?
Faust. Absolutely.
By the same director of Nosferatu.
That's right.
Friedrich Wilhelm Murnau.
Yes. The protagonist of a German legend. As a matter of fact, is the movie. A scholar who is highly successful yet dissatisfied with his life, so he makes a pact with the devil in exchanging his soul for unlimited knowledge and worldly pleasures.
And youth, because he was such an old coot.
That's right. in youth, you know. And and yes, Crowley, there are people out there that actually make deals with the devil, not just to add a couple inches on the ding-ding.
Apparently, that was not Faust's problem. He just wanted to be able to do it again.
Exactly. The Faust legend have been the basics for many literary artistic. We're leaving that in, so everybody knows I'm illiterate now. for many literary, artistic, cinematic, and musical works that have been reinterpreted through the ages, Faust is the adjective for Faustian and implies a situation in which an ambiguous person surrenders moral integrity in order to achieve power and success for a delimited term. Sort of like us.
Yeah.
Okay, sort of like me. All right.
But it covered all ranges of story.
Yes, it did.
You had the fight with good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to help, but really feeling helpless.
Right.
So when he originally did the pact, it was to have the power to help people. But that backfired in his face when they found out he was in league with the devil.
Hmm.
And then it turned into a love story because he ended up falling in love and just became unselfish in trying to help her.
Yes. I'm listening.
And the end was kind of a sad and happy ending because he got to be with his girl, but like Romeo and Juliet.
Dun, dun, dun. all right, well, you know, working off of this movie, it's inspired many major musical works in other forms, including The Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz, scenes from Goethe's Faust by Robert Schumann, The Faust Symphony by Franz Liszt, Symphony No. 8 by Gustav Mahler, and History, Du Soldat by Igor Stravinsky. Believe it or not, some of those wonderful musics from in history, really inspired by this. I'm trying to, and I lost my train of thought again.
Well, anyway, you know what I really was pissed off about the movie? Was his working with the devil. The devil was doing everything to like get him in trouble.
Yes, because
like he set him up for the townspeople to go chase him out of town for the murder of the girl's family.
Okay.
And also when he went after that, what was her? Was she a countess in Italy?
I believe you're correct.
He went after her, but he told everyone else that she was with him.
Mm-hmm.
So they chased him out of there.
Well, you also have to realize this is basically a morality play.
Oh, definitely.
Let's just be honest. That's what morality plays do. But
it was just so funny how he was supposed to be... Well, the devil was in servitude to him, supposedly. But it just wasn't working out that way.
Come on! That's how it's supposed to work. For those of you who are wondering about this, we're going to delve deep into history. All of you history nerds are going to love this. The origin of Faust's name and persona remains unclear, though some sources connect the legendary Faust with Johann Fust from, he was born in 1400, died in 1466, who was surprisingly a business partner of probably one of the most important people in the history of the world. Johann Gutenberg.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Was supposedly a business partner, Fust was. It is suggested that Faust is one of the multiple origins of the Faust story. Others believe that he is based on the figure of Dr. Johann Georg Faust, a magician and alchemist, probably from Nittinglen, Wittenberg, who obtained a degree in divinity from Heidelberg University in 1509. He died in 1540. Scholars such as Frank Baron, Leo Ruchbuckle, contest many of these previous assumptions. The first known printed source of the Faust legend was in a small chapbook bearing the title Historia von D. Johann Fausten, which was published in 1857. The book was re-edited and borrowed throughout the 16th century. Some of the other books of that time period, Das Wangenbuch, is one of... Can you tell I'm bad in German? I did take a year of German, by the way.
And I have a German father.
Yeah, Das Weidmannsche... Das Weidmannsche Fachbuch. Faustbuch, I should say. Dr. Faust Grosser and Gateweiler Hulenwag. I'm just going to break out into Scandinavian now, all right? Dr. Johannes Faust, Magica Naturalis et Interalis, Das Pfeifferseis Faustbuch, Dr. Faust Grosser and Gateweiler Mirgist, Das Wengerbuch, and Faustbuch E Christus. A Christisch Mienden. Is that good?
Wow.
I don't know if that was good or not.
Sounded good to me.
Related tales between a pact between man and the devil include Marken van Nieuwenhagen, which is a Dutch, which that's probably why I took that. I'm Danish. Sendoxus, Cenodoxus. I probably really, really botched that one. It was by Jacob Biermann. And the Countess Kathleen is an Irish legend of some unknown origin, but it is believed to be taken from the French play. Of course, not a lot of people realize that the Normans did settle in England and in Ireland. That's where my last name actually came from, Jordan. Yeah. Believed to be some taken from the French play Les Marchands d'Armes. And I took 4 years of French, so I should know that stuff. So there you go. A few locations actually linked to the story. Staufen is a town in the extreme southwest of Germany, where it's claimed that Faust died. Believe it or not, depictions appear on the buildings. The only historical source for this tradition is a passage in the Chronik der Grafen von Zarman, which was written around 1565, 25 years after Faust's presumed death. In Christopher Marlowe's original Telling of the Tale, Wittenberg, where Faust studied, is also Wittenbridge. This led to a measure of speculation as to where precisely his story is set. Some scholars suggested the Duchy of Wittenberg, and others have suggested an allusion to Maryland's own Cambridge, believe it or not. But the likely placement of Wittenberg is the historical capital of Wittenberg, and you may know it as the city of Stuttgart.
Stuttgart.
Yes. So, yes.
Cool.
There you go.
But the movie was just beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the last... it was one of the last silent films, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Of course, 1926 in German...
Sound didn't come in until 1930.
Yeah, but we also are talking about German history... In 1926, in German history, Germany joined the League of Nations in 1926, but there was also some guy coming to power around that time. So, well, I'm just saying.
No, I know. I'm trying to read, read and find it for you. Let's see.
Mussolini actually took over Italy that year, I believe.
Okay.
So there you go.
Good pick.
Yes, it's a great pick.
Should we do the book now?
Yes, do the book. I'm all for reading. We highly encourage reading.
Do you read it? Did you read any books?
I do read books, but I haven't read anything in a while. So, well, I mean, anything that we could, you know, talk about. I'm edumacating myself. Okay. By the time
I have another young adult series.
Oh, really?
It's the Demon Princess series.
The Demon Princess series. Check that out.
By Michelle Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
There's three books that came out already. She's working on the fourth one. It's supposed to be out this year. It's all about 16-year-old Nikki Donovan, who finds out she's a half-demon princess.
Oh, that's always fun to find out.
And she has kind of a snarky attitude.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of humor in this book because she's 16 and she's got this attitude of trying to deal with things, and sometimes it just makes her situation worse. Mm. So she finds out her father is a demon king of the Shadowlands, which is protecting the human world from demons. And her mom doesn't know anything about this because her mom has the classic, she met this guy in college, got knocked up, he left her. So and then Nikki finds out her best friend is a demon slayer in training. So she can't tell anybody what's going on.
Mm.
And the fourth book is the final of the series. It's supposed to tie everything up because she's trying to help her shadow boyfriend. And she's dealing with a prophecy. She's supposed to marry the king of the fairy realm. And there's also another prophecy that she'll destroy her father's kingdom because she's a darkling, which is the half demon, half human.
Yes.
So it's a really fun read. I read them all in one day each.
Nice. That's always good.
They're short enough that you can.
Yeah, I like books like that. I really do. I mean, like the ones that are just short enough to where you can, you know, get a day's enjoyment, or just long enough to get a day's enjoyment out of it, but just short enough to where, you know, you don't have to, you know, stop your life just to read it.
Exactly. And Michelle Rowan is trying to finish this fourth book, and she's having a hard time trying to finish it because she's also doing other series that's interfering.
Ooh.
And some people are getting all pissed off about it.
Really? People getting just angry?
Just like the fans were pissed off at Charlene Harris for killing off the Sookie series.
It's because we ran out of people for Sookie to sleep with.
No, in the book series, there's tons more she could sleep with.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay. You win on that argument. Well, I mean, they had to kill off the Southern Vampire series eventually.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's only so many places you can go before, you know, HBO takes it and ruins it.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Wait a minute. If you're going to do that, we have to do that properly. That's what she said. Ha ha! Okay. Did you know they're going to make a movie version of the Brit of the original version of The Office?
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Ricky Gervais has already come out and said it's going to happen.
Yes.
Which kind of ticks me off a little, though.
Yeah.
No, it ticks me off because Ricky is in, I think, one of my favorite series of all time right now. And I know it's only gone 2 seasons. But the show Derek, if you haven't seen it yet.
Nope.
Get on to watching that, because I mean you will cry as hard as you laugh. And it's one of the greatest series I've ever seen. And to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of The Office. Either version. Although I thought the British
version. I didn't see the English version.
Well, I mean the British version is a lot funnier, obviously, because Ricky Gervais is in it and not Steve Carell. But personal preference, people, personal preference. I don't think, believe me, my favorite day of The Daily Show is when Steve Carell left. But, well, I'm sorry.
Everyone's entitled.
That's how I feel. Okay, people? And ooh, look at this. We have more news. And I didn't see this, and I apologize for not seeing this. And this story is 3 weeks old, and I am just now seeing it.
What?
There's going to be a Beetlejuice 2.
What?
Do I need to say that again?
No, I heard you the first time.
There's going to be a Beetlejuice 2. That's all you need to know. That's actually all we know at the moment.
And Winona Ryder is going to be in it.
Oh, thank God. Because if she's not in it, then we don't have a movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay? No, she's in it.
One. Well, at least she's in it. So, and Michael Keaton's in it as well. So we're in good shape.
Well, they need him in it to be Beetlejuice.
Absolutely. He's going to haunt a house, right?
Yeah.
That's what Beetlejuice does, folks. He haunts a house. Well, anyways.
He's the ghost with the most, babe.
That's right. Oh, anyways, I think it's about time we ended this. What do you think?
Okay, yeah, because I'm all out of news myself.
Yeah, I'm all out of everything, too. All right, so thank you for listening to us ramble for an hour again. Anyways, like the Facebook page, follow the Twitter feed at emztradio.com, go to our Podbean site. Everything you can imagine is right there on the Podbean site. If you will, be nice enough to go over to Stitcher. Use the Stitcher link so they know where you're coming from. And you can subscribe to our podcast that way as well and listen to it anytime. Of course, that's the idea of a podcast, isn't it? But anyways.
And you've got us linked on everywhere.
Yeah, linked everywhere. Stitcher, Tuned In even has us. So there is no excuse of why you're not listening to this podcast. So get busy.
That's right.
Listen to this podcast. So anyways, I think we're done.
And tune in next time for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Later, kitties.
Watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, Mister.
They look like psychos. Is that what they look like? They were vampires. Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Anybody else wonder who the hell opened that door?
Those people back there, they wasn't normal. Normal folks, they don't spit out bullets when you shoot them.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
When a man's jawbone drops off, it's time to reassess the situation.
Father.
Ah! Ah!
game over. Everybody dies. But us, we get to carry on and plan the sequel. Because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.